Let me just have a word of prayer. Father, so we just want to take a little time, talk about the reality of the spiritual battle that every Christian is in, whether they know it or not, and that you would guide in our time as I ask your direction by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was thinking, of course, I looked through our hymnals, see all the verses on, or all songs on Rejoice. But the verse came back to me from Luke 10. I was thinking about, and I looked it up to see if there was any other that had those words. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. And I want to come back and just share a little bit of him saying that after this whole matter of the 70 come back, excited to see the reality of the spiritual battle, and in the name of Jesus that they had authority in that. And I wasn't going to do that, but I know some people have heard my testimony. I'm not going to do the whole thing here, but a couple things on how God opened the reality of the spiritual battle to me. And I back up to a couple things. A fellow by the name of Merle, I heard that he was praying with people to get free from any demonic holds. And I thought, he must be a weird-looking guy. So he came to speak in chapel at Central Christian. I thought, he looks very ordinary. Doesn't look like anything wrong with him. And mind you, I got saved at 9. I've read the Bible. I knew what Ephesians 6 said. But I'm pretty sure up to that point, I wasn't daily putting on the armor of God. And to know kind of where I was, my sister, she was here in the church too. It was something. My sister Roberta, we ended up in the same grade because in first grade, I had to stay out because of pneumonia. We ended up in the same grade. And our name was near on both of us. We always were next to each other. Anyway, it was a journey. But anyway, and we got saved at the same, I went forward first, however, and then she came forward. but it was back there, I'm talking before 50 years ago now. She said, you know, the McLarens up in Nebraska, I hear that they have a deliverance ministry, and you ought to look into that. I think you ought to look into that. And I could tell you my response to her is, I'm not interested. And I think God smiled. But I'm kind of glad that I made it clear where I was, because what happened in my life, I didn't go seeking for it. It was more something that God just put in my life. And many of you know what happened here. My 50-year-old daughter, Lisa, she's a couple months old, maybe 6 months old. That was a nursery up there where they do the sound room now. And a lady by the name of Bernice was changing her diaper. And the lady that came, showed up at this church when I showed up, that had troubles, went up and took her away from her. I don't know what she was going to do, but she was going to go out of here with the baby. And I can tell you what we were doing. I happened to be leading the choir. We had a choir loft over here at that time, singing I've Decided to Follow Jesus. And somebody on the back of the choir saw that. He ran down because there was a tussle. She fought to take the baby out of there. Mary and I ended up there. Two of our kids ended up there. And it was kind of a bad scene because she had a little argument with this lady about, don't touch my baby. And they argued about whose baby it was. And anyway, it was horrible, but it was wonderful because it opened my eyes to the spiritual battle. And I realized that day. And I would just tell you, in defense of this lady, she did have problems. We tried to help her. Don's mom and I tried to help her. were pretty inexperienced. I was very inexperienced. But she told me later on, I came over to the church with all good intention, and when I came into the church, something happened in me. And I'll just tell you, that's a whole other story that I won't tell now, but that's before we cleansed this church from things that had happened with masonry and all sorts of things before that. So that happened that day. I got up to speak afterward, and I thought a pain in my back was going to drop me to the floor, and all I could say is, help me, Lord. But I went home and talked to somebody else about, this battle must be real. Anyway, within a month, we had a chaplain call with a gal that was trying to get out of witchcraft. And my sister and I, she ended up in there with me, just battling through and learning the spiritual battle. And it's kind of gone on from there. But I guess what I wanted to say is, it's not, I'm not very critical when people really aren't in tune with, there's a real spiritual battle going on. Because just realizing, I think I knew Ephesians 6, but I don't know that it was real to me. And of course, the spiritual battles become very real. And what I want to do, well, let me just remind the way Paul said that to the Ephesians, and there was a lot of occult stuff going on in Ephesus before they came to Christ there. But you know how he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that's a wonderful exhortation. How do I do that, Lord? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The very next thing he says is put on the whole armor of God. And what he says with that, I just want to remind you again. He says, put on the whole armor of God. If you want to know how to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And this verse 12, which I really guess it was not real to me at that point, but it needs to be. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And he goes on to talk more about the pieces of the armor, but the importance of spiritual protection. Just to think, and one of my burdens is, wherever I can, to help people understand, you're going through a battle. It may be in your marriage. It may be with somebody at work. It may be, it ends up not being flesh and blood. Sure, flesh and blood's involved. It's in any kind of conflict, it's flesh and blood here, but behind the scenes, it's a spiritual battle. And you need to know that, for that's where we really wrestle. And I want to just go back for just a moment. We were just reading Mark the other day, and it just came, reminded me how much Jesus ran into that. A couple verses from Mark chapter 1, verse 32. At even, it talks about how people were coming to him. At even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of different diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And then dropping down to verse 38, and he said unto them, let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogue throughout Galilee and cast out devils. I was thinking back to, and I don't know if you know the name, but it's Ernest Rockstead. He was in Andover, and somehow he had been alerted and opened up, and people went to him to help with spiritual conflicts in their lives. And I remember him saying one day, people come to me and they say, Ernest, I don't understand. You're always running into devils. I never run into devils. And he said it kind of got me down, and I was kind of discouraged. And then I realized Jesus ran into them all the time. it was not strange for him to run into people that needed spiritual help and freedom. And I just ask you a question. Do you think things have gotten better than they were in Jesus' day? I don't think so. But people are looking at things and having other explanations and other reasonings why somebody's having a problem. So anyway, I just wanted to go to Luke 10 for a moment just to look at in the context of where Jesus was praying that. In Luke chapter 10, the Lord had appointed 70 to go out and minister for him, two and two. 70 also, and sent them two and two before the face in every city and place whither he himself would come. And what I want to point out here is there's not a lot of instruction in what to do if you run into somebody that has a demonic problem. In fact, if you look what he instructed them here, he tells them in verse 2, the harvest is truly great, the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, and behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Know what you're going into. You are meek and mild and for me, and you're going to go in among wolves. Tells them to carry neither purse nor script, to go into this battle, and people will share with you. And whatsoever house you enter first, say, peace be to this house. And it says, if you're accepted there, you stay there. And then he says, I want to just, verse 8, and into whatsoever city ye enter, receive you, eat such things as is set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come unto you. And then he says, if they don't receive you, you know, leave and just wipe the dust off your shoes, but get on your way. It's going to be more tolerable for some of those cities that came under terrible judgment in the past. So anyway, he sends them out. And one thing I would just underscore here, he did not give them a lesson on what to do when they ran into a spiritual difficulty that I can see. Heal the sick, proclaim the gospel, go out and minister. You go down to verse 17, and it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And so what they come back with is excitement that they'd run into spiritual battles, and they saw that in the name of Jesus that they could be victorious and help people. And so a couple things that I'm so interested in how Jesus handles this situation with them. So he says to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, indicating the time when Lucifer, in his rebellion, gave up his brightness and his light and fell. He said, I saw that. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents, on scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So he said, it's reality. It's kind of interesting to me, before the 70 went out, that he didn't tell them that. But after they had experienced it, he came back and he said, I do. I give you that authority. But I think this is really key in verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. If you want to rejoice about something, rejoice that you have a home in heaven, your name is written in heaven. And warning against the thing that you get somehow enamored in this. And it's not something to get excited about personally, but it's something to be ready to help where you can. I want to remind you of a verse in John 14 that I think is very significant when he was telling his own, he's going to go away. But in verse 12 of John 14, where he said, don't let your heart be troubled. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, that where I am there you can be also. Down the line in verse 12, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the work that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And then he talks about the Holy Spirit coming. And I think the greater works is many that are out there doing what Jesus did by the power of the Spirit. So he is saying, I do give you authority to do that, but don't get enamored with it, and don't rejoice in that. Rejoicing is good, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. But then I come to verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Which is an interesting statement, that those that depend on human knowledge, those that depend on education, nothing wrong with education, but those that are relying on that can even have truth hidden from them, and hath revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. And so I checked out a few different translations, and childlike or little children. And guess what I would say is to have a learning spirit, to not figure everything out by some kind of intelligence, but to be able, for God to be able to show the truth of things. I think I was referred to that this morning about Josiah being 30. We need to always be learning. We always need to be open. We need to have a learning spirit and a childlike spirit for God to show truth to us. But that's why I came to this passage, because the thing that I would say is Jesus rejoiced that they were able to see that, to know that, and to do something about that. And I can tell you there's a lot of folks out there that one way or another, Christians that have given ground somehow in their lives and need ground recovered, that somehow they're bound in certain areas. And I don't think that God's going to push everybody to do what he did in my life and has put on my heart, just help those I send to you. Honor me and help those I send to you. He's called all of us to be declarers of the gospel, but it's also very important to realize the truth that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, so that you can know how to pray for situations, so you can know how to encourage in different situations. I've found sometimes it just is such an eye-opener if a couple is going through it and they just cannot get things together, to realize there's an agenda behind them to destroy. There's an agenda. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So I think understanding the spiritual battle, being childlike enough to realize the reality of it. We're in a fallen world. We're in a demon-possessed world, really. When we chose to, in our first parents, to obey the serpent, we died spiritually. And you look at when Jesus allowed himself to be tempted, to come here, and allowed himself to be tempted for, and it just, I have a tough time with it, but Satan took him up on the high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of this world. I'll give them all to you. Just bow down and worship me. Jesus did not contend with the fact that he might have some control over the kingdoms of this world. But he did say, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And at that point, he said, get thee hence. He could have done that right off. But he allowed it to go through that temptation. And just shows what kind of a world our Lord Jesus came into. But we can touch this world. But we do need to understand. I can tell you, once I got in touch with what was really going on spiritually, I won't miss a day of putting on the whole armor of God. I wouldn't want to go out into the day without the armor of God, with getting under the shadow of the Almighty in Psalm 91, abiding in his secret place under his shadow, under his wings, and he will keep you out of the snare of the wicked, and all sorts of promises there, that he'll give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, and they'll bear you up in their hands lest you dash your foot against a stone, and you're able to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of darkness. So God wants us as his children to be overcomers, and he gives us provision for all we need to be able to walk in freedom, to be able to recover ground in our lives, and to be of ministry in this present day. So I just wanted to come back to that verse, realizing Jesus was excited. He rejoiced for what they'd seen. And what he warned them, don't rejoice in this. This is not something that you somehow take personal glory in at all. It's the power of Jesus Christ. But he was praising God for what they'd seen. And may God open our eyes to, when I first was seeing more and more of what went on the dark side of things, I had to kind of come through. It was a real disappointment in what goes on in the world. But God brought me out of that. We have victory in Jesus Christ, and I praise him for that. Heavenly Father, I just was reminded, I guess, as I looked in these thoughts about rejoicing in our struggles, that you rejoiced that these 70 came back having their eyes open. And God, may more and more Christians have their eyes open to know what's really going on in the struggles all around us, that we're in a spiritual battle, because that thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But you've come to give life and life more abundantly, and we praise you for that. And just commit these thoughts, Lord, to be sort of an open door, that this is our life in the power of Jesus Christ, to help folks, pray for folks, and to see them free from demonic spirits in Jesus' name. Amen.